O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Looking at God's awesome wonders, such as the recent solar eclipse, some of you were able to take that in. Looking at his wonders should make us contemplate how great God is, and perhaps even think back to the creation of those awesome things. So often when we think about creation as given us in Genesis 1 and 2, we consider it so important that we want to make sure that our kids get taught it. And so here in Sunday school, like in so many other places, we teach those introductory chapters, and rightfully so. But this morning, as we continue looking at portions of the book of Proverbs, we're going to see what we call the creation, I think in a bit of a different way. It was for me as I meditated on this, and by it, we're going to see an important lesson that God actually intends for us. So I'm going to begin by reading Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. The focus there is going to be on wisdom, God's wisdom before God's actions. So reading along, Proverbs 8, starting at verse 22. The Lord created me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From eternity I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no ocean depths, I was born. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was born. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. So notice how the passage starts out. Yahweh, the Lord, created me. And so because of that, we need to provide some context. So far, I've been able to choose at least one portion out of each chapter in Proverbs. You may have noticed I skipped over chapter 7, and it's because chapter 7 refers to sexual sin. We talked about that a month ago when I talked about foolish non-intimacy. If you weren't here for that, you can go to our website and still get that sermon. Chapter 8 is basically a soliloquy by wisdom personified. So in verse 22, it's wisdom talking, and we've mentioned personification before. It's giving human characteristics to something that isn't human. Now, the way that your verse 22 through 26 reads might have sounded quite a bit different than what I read. And there are two reasons for that. So one, remember that Proverbs is Hebrew poetry, and with poetic language, there's greater flexibility in how things can be translated, how they could be worded. But then two, the main verb in the original language, Hebrew, in verse 22, the main verb there can be translated in two different ways. So the two basic ways, and this is going to explain why your neighbor might have a very different wording than you, the two basic ways to translate the verb are to create and to acquire. And so we can see those two meanings by comparing our older New American Standard that used to be in our pews with the newer version of the New American Standard that we now have in our pews. So you see the 1995 version, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. And then with the recent update in 2020, the Lord created me at the beginning of his way. Those are two different ways that that verb can actually be translated. So you may have a Bible that is showing the creation or the birth of wisdom in those verses. You may have something like the Christian Standard Bible, which is getting more and more popular, that shows as if there's an acquiring of wisdom. But then you have others that portray wisdom not as something that God necessarily acquired because he always had it. So some like the English Standard Version say, like this, the Lord possessed me. And then you have the International Children's Bible that simply says, I was with God. Either of the two basic approaches is okay, as long as we understand how it is okay and how it's not okay. So before I go ahead and break that down, though, please understand the main point here. Okay, please understand the main point before getting too much into this like single word. The main point is that there was wisdom before God's actions, specifically his actions in creating our world. Wisdom was prior to that. Okay, so how does that idea then square with this idea of our two different ways to translate that verb in verse 22? If your Bible goes more in the direction of creation or birth of wisdom, take it in the sense of saying a star is born. So that was a movie most recently made in 2018 with Lady Gaga. For trivia fans, it was made previously, if you didn't know that, 1976 with Barbara Streisand, 1954 with Judy Garland, 1937 with Janet Gaynor. By the way, I found out with that oldest version that the female lead in the oldest version, 1937, she's leaving her small town in North Dakota, Vivian, before she becomes a star in Los Angeles. Vivian left North Dakota to become a star here, right? The point is, although the title said a star is born, the ability was already there. It just needed the circumstances to be seen. So likewise, wisdom was created or born in the sense that it was always there, but it just needed the right circumstances to be seen. Now, if you happen to have the acquire or the possess sense, it would kind of be, think of it this way, as if having a clothing in a closet and you pull it out, you're getting out that clothing in order to use it, but it was already there. You're acquiring it, you're possessing it, but it was already there. And you may see a commentary as you look at this, either in your Bible or if you look in a separate commentary, and they bring in Colossians 2:3. We've talked about that before, where it says that all the treasures of wisdom are hidden in Christ. And so they'll say Proverbs 8. It's really just talking about Christ's part in creation. Honestly, that's a little bit tricky. We're not denying that because we know John 1 talks about that. But to say that that's talking about Christ here is a little bit tricky because unfortunately it opens the door to thinking that led to an ancient heresy. The ancient heresy that, wisdom was created. Christ was created. That was a heresy a long, long time ago. And that would not be an okay way to understand these verses. So, just because we want to be practical about this, if you ever have Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses that try to tell you that Jesus was created, refer them to John 8:58, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Okay, there's no sense that's the timelessness of Christ. And also remember that when it comes to this part of Proverbs, it's personification. It's taking a characteristic of God, his wisdom, and it's making it seem like it's a separate person. Now, ultimately, these verses are describing how God, in his wisdom, made our world. So how do we know that? How do we know that it's really talking about God making our world? Because early in Proverbs, it said this, "The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding." So we have this soliloquy that's going on as if wisdom itself were speaking, but we understand that it's God speaking about his wisdom. And the point is that wisdom was there before God's actions, specifically his actions of creation. Verse 22 says, "Before his works of old," or his deeds of old, his acts of old, his ancient activity. It's the way different versions have it. And various versions say that in 23, verse 23, they say at the beginning or at the first. I personally like the versions that say from everlasting or from eternity. I think that's clearer because it's referring to God himself, within himself. It's referring to God outside of time, even though that may be hard for us to conceive. So from eternity, wisdom was established, it was set, it was appointed as the skill that God would use to create our world. And verse 23 is thinking of the world, the earth, in its widest sense. I say that because later, earth is going to refer to just the land, but not yet. This is still presenting the big picture. The big picture kind of continues on in verses 24 and 25. "I was born, I was brought forth. Remember how we're to understand that. God's wisdom was always there, simply needed the right circumstances to be seen. No ocean depths, no springs, no hills or mountains in place. Verse 26, the earth, now it does mean land masses, the fields nor the dust, referring to the soil. Before any of that, there was wisdom. Wisdom was before the action that God would take. Now, verses 24 through 26 are echoing what we see in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. But it's in a bit of a different way, isn't it? Because Genesis 1 explains what came to be. This part of Proverbs 8 is talking about before things came to be. So Genesis 1, verse 2 says that after God created the heavens, he made the earth, and the earth was formless, desolate emptiness, darkness was over the surface of the deep. So Proverbs 8 says that when there were no ocean depths, that God's wisdom was there. Sometimes when people write about Genesis 1, verse 2, they refer to this chaotic mass of the world as if, you know, chaos ruled the world. And in the physical realm, it probably looked that way. It probably looked like it was chaotic. But keep in mind that in the spiritual realm, God was in control. He had his wisdom and his knowledge, and they were guiding things. And we know that from Proverbs 8. So now apply that to ourselves. In the physical realm, we may see chaos. We may see chaos going on throughout the world. We may see chaos in our country. Sometimes we feel like there's chaos going on in our lives. But in the spiritual realm, God is in control. He continues to act with wisdom. We have to hold on to that. Amen? So verse 25 has this settling of the mountains and the hills, and it connects it to verse 26, talking about making the land and the fields. In verse 9 of Genesis 1, God says, let the dry land appear. But before that was God's wisdom. And certainly wisdom was prior to Proverb 8:26's first dust of the world, out of which man would be made. Genesis 2, verse 7 indicates that the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground. So before God's actions with the creation of the world, including mankind, wisdom was in place, awaiting its use. And although verses 22 through 26, wisdom is speaking as if a person, because this is poetry, we can see that the one having the wisdom, the Lord God, he's giving us a glimpse of the way things were in eternity. So wisdom, before God's actions in creation, was what we first were looking at. And now we're going to look at wisdom during God's actions. It's in verses 27 through 31. Then after that, we're going to think about this overall lesson that I think God has for us from this. Follow along as I read verses 27 through 31. Wisdom continues, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set a boundary for the sea so that the water would not violate his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was his delight daily, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of mankind. So wisdom continues talking, and again, this is a different way of describing God's wisdom that he used in creating our world and its people. If verses 22 through 26 were giving us a glimpse of how things were in eternity, now in verses 27 through 31, we get a glimpse that really parallels the creation of things in Genesis 1 and 2. So we're going to be putting up various verses because it is more explicit. The principal emphasis for us to see is that God's wisdom was before he took action, and then it was present during his action. Both are important. Verse 27, when he established the heavens, I was there. Genesis 1:7, part of verse 8, they read like this. God made the expanse and separated the waters that were below the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse heaven. So if you look at some Bibles, they might have God calling the expanse sky. Just so you know, it's the same word as in Proverbs 8:27. Heavens, actually, it's plural in Genesis as well as here in Proverbs. So it's plural in both places, and that's why I think that Proverbs 8:27 starts out with a reference to Genesis 1:8. Verse 27 also talks about how God inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. In other words, the deep waters. Only a few versions that I looked at use the word circle. It is actually, you know, it's the word, but only a few word it that way. Part of the understanding of that expression really has to do with how we understand the inscribing or the drawing of the circle. And so I need you to watch me in order to be able to illustrate that. Is it inscribing and drawing a circle vertically? Or is it drawing a circle horizontally? Get that? Most modern versions take that to be drawing it horizontally, which is why most versions say that God is marking out the horizon, is the way that they word it. But even if that is the case, even if we're to understand it kind of horizontally where he's marking out the horizon, why would it say a circle instead of a line? Well, some think that verse 27 is referring to the earth as a globe. Another verse that conveys that idea pretty clearly is Isaiah 40, verse 22. So referring to God, it says in Isaiah 40, 22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. By the way, somebody in ignorance might make a statement about, in the past, you know, Christians were flat earthers, which if you do even a little bit of investigation, you're going to find out that that's not true. It's just an insult that some give. Wisdom is also said to have been present when God made firm the skies and the springs of the deep became fixed. That's verse 28, and we can tie that to Genesis 1:6. Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And continuing the thought of verse 27's, I was there. Verse 29 refers to a boundary for the sea and a command, which meant that God was commanding that the waters would only go so far. We can connect that to Genesis 1, verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. Last part of Proverbs 8:29, the foundations of the earth. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, they don't really mention foundations, but based on what's been said earlier in the chapter, in this passage, I think it's pretty easy to see that mentioning the foundations is a reference to the overall establishing of the creation of the earth. So it's good for us to remember that when wisdom is understood in chapter 8, we're understanding a characteristic of God himself. So when verse 30 says that the wisdom was a master worksman or a master craftsman, it's really describing the quality of the work that God did in creation. Those with the New Century Version, the International Children's Bible, talk to me later about the way that your wording starts out in verse 30, if you like. When wisdom had delight and rejoiced, we know that it means that God himself had delight and rejoiced. God rejoiced in the world he had made. He delighted in the sons of mankind. He delighted in the human race. God rejoicing in the world has ties to the final verse of Genesis 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But you can read that. And it's like, yep, it was good. He thought it was good. Can you sense the greater intensity of the emotion that he had over it? That he delighted, that he rejoiced? And why specifically the delight in the human race? Because they're the only ones in Genesis 1 that are made in God's image and likeness. And the only ones in Genesis 1, if you look carefully, to be blessed by God out of all creation. Seeing God's delight and joy in what he had made, I think it helps us to understand better what's said of the angels in Job 38:7, where God is speaking of the earth's foundations and how the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. In other words, the angels were just following God's example. Speaking of God's example, that's part of our main thought for this morning. Wisdom is to be before and during our actions. God set the example for us of wisdom's importance when he created the earth. So we went through these pretty quickly, but what just went on in our verses? Well, the allusions to the Genesis account, I think, are pretty clear. God's wisdom was before he took action in the creation of our world, and his wisdom was there during the creation of our world, not just before, not just during, but before and during. And a commentary summarized what's going on by saying wisdom was foundational to God in making the world. So in the context of Proverbs, one of the things that's intended here is it's supposed to convey the sense of importance of wisdom to us. But it wasn't just supposed to show us, oh, okay, it was important to God. It was important to God before and during. He was providing an example for us that before we take a specific action like him, that we have wisdom before we take that important action, that we take wisdom and use it during that important action. In other words, that wisdom should be present both before and during. Wisdom is to be a resource that we draw upon before we act. It's to be a resource that we draw on while we act. So God is showing us in Proverbs 8 that what he did, he wants us to do likewise. Now, how do we know that for sure? How do we know that God wants us to pick up on the fact that the way he created is meant to be an example for us? We know that by the very next verse, Proverbs 8:32. This is in the NIV. Now then, my children, says wisdom, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Blessed are those who keep my ways. What ways of wisdom? The way of wisdom being before an action, and the way of wisdom being during an action. Wisdom is meant to be a life skill, a godly life skill, something that is characteristic of us, something that we can always draw upon. So, you know, one of the cool things that we can take from this part of the book of Proverbs is that I think it gives us a fuller appreciation of the creation of the world. It gives us a fuller appreciation of the account in Genesis 1 and 2, but we also have to realize why the verses are here. God was communicating how foundational wisdom was in his taking action, and he wants his wisdom to be foundational to the action that you and I take too. He wants it to be both before and during the actions that we're taking. So stay in his word, live it, apply it, and that wisdom will come. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we have thought about the creation of things and the beginning of Genesis so many times, and I love the fact that you say it was good, that it was very good. But I'm so glad for this portion of Proverbs 8 that really just shows a much, much greater depth of delight and joy. And that it wasn't just, you know, happenstance, it wasn't just something chaotic, it wasn't something of the moment. It was with wisdom and knowledge, as Proverbs 3 said, and now even more so in Proverbs 8. If those things are so important to you, with the important action that you took in creating the world and in creating mankind, Lord, may we start to understand the depth of how important wisdom really is meant to be before we're deciding something so important, but also in the midst, during, when things are so important, that the action that we take are really supposed to reflect the action that you took, even at the very beginning. So may we grow in wisdom, Father, even by the guidance of your word. May we get it into our lives and live it as you intend. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.